Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the First Samuel Audio Devotional Podcast. My name is Steve Durr. Unfortunately, you've got me again today, but I have a special guest. I hope it's a good idea. King Saul. King Saul is going to share his perspective on today's story. That's pretty good, huh? We'll see. We're going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 18, starting in verse 17 and going to the end of the chapter. Just a reminder, Saul sees David as a massive threat, comparing himself to him. People are flocking to David. He sees David as a threat to take away his kingdom, his dynasty. And Jonathan and David are kind of connecting as close friends. And so Saul's got to do something about this. So he makes David a commander in his army. And now he's got some ideas of how he can get rid of this dude. So let's read 1 Samuel chapter 18, and then I'll let King Saul take it away from there. How's that? One day, Saul said to David, "I am ready to give you my older daughter, Merab, as your wife. But first, you must prove yourself to be a real warrior by fighting the Lord's battles." For Saul thought, "I'll send him out against the Philistines and let them kill him rather than doing it myself. Who am I, and what is my family in Israel that I should be the king's son-in-law?" David exclaimed. "My father's family is nothing." So when the time came for Saul to give his daughter Merab in marriage to David, he gave her instead to Adriel, a man from Mahola. In the meantime, Saul's daughter Michal had fallen in love with David, and Saul was delighted when he heard about it. "Here's another chance to see him get killed by the Philistines," Saul said to himself. But to David, he said, "Today, you have a second chance to become my son-in-law." Then Saul told his men to say to David, "The king really likes you, and so do we. Why don't you accept the king's offer and become his son-in-law?" When Saul's men said these things to David, he replied, "How can a poor man from a humble family afford the bride price for the daughter of a king?" When Saul's men reported this back to the king, he told them, "Tell David that all I want for the bride price is 100 Philistine foreskins. Vengeance on my enemies is all I really want." But what Saul had in mind was that David would be killed in the fight. David was delighted to accept the offer. Before the time limit expired, he and his men went out and killed 200 Philistines. Then David fulfilled the king's requirement by presenting all their foreskins to him. So Saul gave his daughter Michal to David to be his wife. When Saul realized that the Lord was with David and how much his daughter Michal loved him, Saul became even more afraid of him, and he remained David's enemy for the rest of his life. Every time the commanders of the Philistines attacked, David was more successful against them than all the rest of Saul's officers. So David's name became very famous. All right, with that, let's welcome King Saul. Thank you. It's great to be here today. Let me talk about a problem that every great leader and king will face at some point. What do you do when someone under you starts outshining you? Now, I don't mean to brag. I'm really tall, so everyone's under me. But let's get back to the point. I've been a pretty big deal in Israel. First, I'm a king, anointed by God, handsome, charismatic, you get it. But then this kid comes along, David, a shepherd boy, musician, kind of scrawny, but decent with a slingshot, nice complexion. One day, I bring him into my court to play some harp music because, you know, king life is stressful and there's these evil spirits that are driving me nuts. Next thing I know, he's winning battles. People are singing songs about him, and suddenly, I'm not the fan favorite anymore. Let me tell you, that does something to a guy, especially when the guy is the king. Who's supposed to be the big deal? Me. But no, people start singing all kinds of songs about him. And that's when I realize this guy isn't just a rising star. He's a threat. So naturally, I do what any reasonable leader does. I try to get rid of him. I first offer my daughter in marriage. Sounds generous, huh? But really, it's a trap. Hey, David, just go fight 100 Philistines first, right? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Because let's be honest, I was hoping he'd never come back from that mission. The odds are stacked against him. But guess what? The guy survives. Of course he does. Not only that, he kills double what I asked for because of course he does. And now, he's my son-in-law. And people love him even more. No matter what I do, no matter how many times I try to take him down, it only makes him stronger. Now, in hindsight, let's call this a leadership learning moment. Maybe I should have handled things a little differently. Maybe instead of fighting against David, I should have just recognized that God was doing something bigger than me. See, this is the part I missed. When God's doing something through someone, you can't control them. You can't stop them. And fighting them only destroys you. When you're fighting them, you're really fighting against God. So let me save you some trouble here. If you got a David in your life, if you feel threatened by someone else's success, let me give you some insights. First of all, don't waste your energy fighting what God is blessing. Don't fight against God. You cannot win. Secondly, don't let comparison turn you into a version of yourself you don't even like. And finally, don't let fear of losing control make you lose yourself. This feels like a TED Talk. Because I learned this the hard way. The more I fought David, the more I lost myself. I went from being anointed by God to being consumed by insecurity and fear of all that was going to be lost. It started with a desire to protect my family, to protect my dynasty, to try to do what's right. But in the end, it went from leading battles to hiding in my own palace, paranoid, throwing spears at my own son-in-law. You don't want to end up here. So are you feeling threatened by someone today? What if they're not your enemy, but God could use this to grow something in you? Because you can spend your life throwing spears, or you can lean into what God is actually doing. It's your choice. All right, I got to go. Thanks for letting me be a part of your podcast. All right, King Saul, thanks for joining us today. Well, hopefully that little moment with King Saul helped connect with you in some way and wasn't completely cringe. So why don't I close out our time in prayer? God, we pray that you would lead us and guide us to be transformed and changed, morphed into the people you'd have us to be, especially as we go through hard things and we have different responses to circumstances and people around us. Instead of moving into enemy mode, instead of trying to control a situation or be filled with fear, God, would you help us to lean into you in those moments, to pay attention to those moments, what you're seeking to say to us and how you're calling us to be changed. And so, God, use these hard situations, relational situations, life situations, to shape us and mold us into your image. Help us to be sensitive to your spirit forming us. We want to be a humble people. We want to be changed. And so, God, would you do that? In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.